I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our weekly yearly cycle updates, where today we're going to be talking about counting the stars. We are in the month of July right now of 2021, and July is often this time where God begins to expand our vision. He begins to show us a bigger picture of something, and we're going to be taking a look at this story of Abraham counting the stars today. But before we get started, let's take some time to pray, and we're going to go through the other half of prayer, just taking some time to evaluate the last week and look at the upcoming week that's coming up ahead. Then we'll get into this time of looking at counting the stars, and we'll take communion over the upcoming week here. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light. Father, we thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, we're going to pray this prayer from Ephesians chapter 1. And we just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, and to bless this upcoming week that we've got. We ask you to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and this expanding vision and plan that you have for us, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today and this week was right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so let's take just a couple minutes to go through the other half of prayer. Remember, prayer is a two-way communication. So before we get into our main teaching, it's good to position our minds and our hearts and to prepare them to evaluate our last week and to clear out our plans and get them ready to go for the next week so that our minds are cleared out and we're ready to receive what God has for us here today. But the first thing is positioning our minds on the light. We've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light. What's going well? What are the ways you've seen God show up and come through for you over the last week? What are the things he's been teaching you and training you in? What are the things that you're grateful for? What did you get done over the last week? And just taking a second to think about those, to meditate on them. You can write them down. If you need a tracker for this on our prayer challenge, 30-day prayer challenge prayer, the prayer that we just prayed, if you go to our website on the free tools and resources page, if you click on that tab for the prayer, you'll find a tracker that you can use to follow along with this, along with some additional training on that prayer. But then how is your level of peace? We're going to be evaluating our peace and joy over the last week. How was your level of just supernatural overflowing peace over the last week? And I like to think of peace as my indicator. I'm keeping my eyes fixed on God. I got my eyes fixed and thinking on, focused on the things above, the things of heaven where God is working for my good, that he's with me. I've got his blessing and favor on my life. And speaking of favor on our lives, we've got coming up July 19th, about 3 days from now, July 19th coming up. When I wrote my book, 7 Days with Jesus, I really felt God was prompting me to record the date that he began to teach me that his blessing and his favor specifically, is on us for a lifetime. His favor surrounds us like a shield, and it's on us for a lifetime. His favor opens up opportunities that we could not open in any other way. And our message for this month of July is favor, patterns, and relationships. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. We can begin to grow in this favor. God's given it to us, but we can begin to grow in the level of it that we experience. And part of that is understanding patterns. We're going to be talking about today, counting as part of pattern recognition. The understanding counting and patterns is a part of this growing in favor, which leads to better relationships, hopefully with both God and man. But how's your level of peace? And if there's anything that was stealing your peace or your joy, bringing those areas to God, just saying, thank you. Father, forgive me that you for losing my peace or my joy. And thank you that you are more than enough. You are with me. Help me to keep my eyes fixed on you and what you put on the inside of you, because it's more than enough to handle whatever was coming at me in life. And then how are your levels of joy over the last week? I like to think of joy as my indicator that I'm living in the present moment and I'm aware of God's presence in my life, because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. So how's your level of joy? When we get caught up living in the past or worried about the future, it often steals our joy. And just focusing on executing the things that you know to do each day and being present in them, often we can be in a totally different world while we're doing things. And just increasing our awareness of God's presence with us in the present moment as we're going about the day can make a huge shift in just how your days go. And then as we look at the week coming up, what are the things that you know you need to get done? Is there anything out of the ordinary on the schedule coming up? Anything that you need to make preparations for or provisions for to get ready for? Anything that you need to plan for? What needs to get done this week? What steps forward could you take over this next week? And just begin to list those things out. And then, what's God been teaching you or showing you? There should be a time where he's expanding the vision some. Where he begins to expand the vision, as we're going to look here in just a minute. What's he been showing you? The light is supposed to grow brighter and brighter. The vision is supposed to be expanding as we walk with God every year. And this is the time where often I've found he begins to expand that vision. A lot of times it comes in the form of desires. A lot of times that expanded vision comes in the form of desires. We're going to see here, Abraham had a desire to have a child. And God tells him, count the stars, because your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars. If you can count the stars, they're going to be more than that. Oftentimes it's the things that you want to do, the things that you're charged up and motivated and fascinated by, the things that you really want to do. Often those are the areas where he begins to expand the vision. And I want you to think about whatever you think is possible. We're going to be talking about counting the cost. Whatever we count the cost to be, God can do more than that. We have to take the God factor into the equation, that nothing is impossible for him. So like I said, we've got July 19th coming up. It's a day that God has reminded me every year since I wrote that his favor is on us and it surrounds us like a shield and it's on us for a lifetime. Let's take a look at this from Genesis chapter 13. So Abraham and Lot have just separated. There was strife. They had both become very wealthy. And there was strife between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. And Abraham takes a bold move. He takes a step of faith, of trusting in God, where he tells Lot, you take whatever land you want, and I will take what's left, because he's trusting that God's with him. And it's going to be okay, because he's got God with him. He's got God's blessing and favor on his life. And right after he separates from Lot, he takes the step of faith where he trusts in God. It says this, the Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him. This is Genesis chapter 13, starting in verse 14. He said, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you. Then it says, so Abraham moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. So then Lot separates from Abraham, which was a bad move because Abraham had God's blessing and favor on his life. And now Lot gets taken captive by the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, I think it was. He gets taken captive. I'm not sure the exact kings, but he gets taken captive. He's a prisoner. And Abraham goes after him and he rescues Lot. He takes all the trained men in his house and he goes and rescues his family member, his nephew Lot, and brings him back. And then after this, the king of Sodom comes out and he says, Abraham has taken all the plunder from taking back Lot. They've taken all this back. And the king of Sodom says to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, this is Genesis chapter 14 in verse 21 we started. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God of Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you'll never be able to say, I made Abram rich. So he's saying, only God is the one who's going to be able to say he made me rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me. Let them have their share. So Abraham, again, is taking this step of faith. I'm not going to take anything from you because I'm not going to let anybody else say that they made me rich. It's God and his covenant with me that makes me rich. And so it says right after this, so Abraham took this step of faith with Lot. God shows up to him and says, count the dust. Then right after Abraham takes this second step of faith, says the word of the Lord came to Abraham again in a vision. Now notice, it came in a vision. It's this time of year in July where God begins to expand the vision. You may begin to get this picture on the inside of something God's prompting you to do. You're motivated and fascinated to do. And God tells him this, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. So God says, I'm your shield. So we talked about God's going to surround you with favor like a shield. I think that's in the Psalms. And then he says, I'm your very great reward. That word in Hebrew is sakar, I believe, which means God's saying, hey, I'm going to be in your service. I'm going to be your servant. I'm going to be among you as one who serves. I'm going to do everything I can to help you. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I still remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? So Abraham's saying, hey, I really desire to have a kid. That's what I really want. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so the servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abram, he's not Abraham yet in this one. Abram believed the Lord and he counted it. God counted it to him as righteousness. So God shows him this expanding vision. God shows him something that's impossible. Abraham believes it. And notice there's counting involved. Just as I've been thinking about this idea of favor, patterns, relationship, this idea of counting just keeps coming up over and over to me. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. He counted Abram in this case righteous. So we see this counting. We see this counting of God's showing him this expanding vision, something bigger and impossible looking, than more than Abraham could ever imagine, more than he could ever count. And Abraham believes it. And this believing of the vision makes him righteous. This belief, just simple belief in God, that with God, nothing's impossible, that credited to Abraham's account as righteousness. Blessed is the man whose sins are not what? Counted against him. Simply by believing in God, believing in this impossible vision that God wants to fulfill through our lives, it's credited to us as righteousness. That's a pretty amazing thought. Now, a couple other concepts on counting. I was thinking about this idea of counting. And God began to bring to mind in my book, 7 Days with Jesus, I have a section on counting. It's at the very end of the book. Very end of the book. On counting. Here's what it says. This is from 7 Days with Jesus, crossing over into Abundant Life, the book. It says, many biblical scholars say that the counting of the Sabbath days and the years of Jubilee did not start until the Israelites had control of the Promised Land. This parallels with the concept of Pentecost, counting the 50 days from Passover to Pentecost, but it did not start until after the Sabbath. Once you've come into your promised land, you must start counting. Counting what? You must pay attention to the numbers in your life. Numbers tell a story. In the gym, I worked for almost 20 years doing personal training with clients. If I want to know how a client is progressing, I can simply look at their numbers that we've recorded. The amounts of weight that they've used, the times on things, their repetitions. By looking at the numbers, I can describe what someone looks like and what kind of progress they're making without ever seeing them. This takes the emotion out of the story and presents just the facts. We too must remove our feelings and emotions so that we can honestly evaluate the numbers displayed in our lives. In many areas of life, people look at the numbers, but they still make emotional decisions. Consider the stock market. Every good investor knows that the right time to buy stocks is when the prices are down, and the right time to sell stocks is when prices are up. In theory, this is easy, but people often make poor decisions and panic when prices are down. They allow the emotions and feelings to dictate their decisions. Do you exercise only when you feel like exercising? Do you only eat healthy meals when you're in the mood for healthy food? This must change. You must be disciplined enough to remove the emotion from your decision-making. Be consistent, even when it isn't easy. Numbers tell us the honest truth. By looking at a client's measurements over the course of several weeks, I can tell if the client is on track or if we need to make some adjustments. The problem is that people often emotionally attach themselves to the numbers, and they make bad decisions due to that emotion. Or they'll try to shift blame and justify the poor numbers. And I've seen a lot of times when people know they're off track, they don't want to look at the numbers. They will avoid them when they know they're off track. But when things are going good, they want to look at the numbers. And these numbers not going in the right direction, people will often get thrown completely out of rhythm and off track because they can't handle the number not going the way that they want it to for a little while. So some clients won't even want to look at their measurements because they know they're not doing what they should. To be mature and rule yourself, you have to be honest with yourself and make corrections. You have to be willing to look at the numbers honestly and make sound decisions. You have to evaluate the pros and cons of a situation and determine whether the outcome fits with your God-given vision. We must calculate the long-term cost of sin and bad decisions, and we must rule over sin. Jesus knew the plan. He knew the vision. He knew that he would be crucified, but he weighed the cost and endured the plan for the joy set before him. He counted the cost and determined that the short-term suffering was worth the joy and glory awaiting him. It's the same for us. A reward and inheritance is waiting for us in this life and in heaven. And we'll have to endure some discipline and suffering maybe for a time, but it will be worth the cost. So Jesus says, count the cost. Jesus says, count the cost. God begins to show us this expanding vision that looks impossible. And we may begin to sit down and you may begin to count the cost. And you may say, I don't have enough. But that's where it's important to look at God and put the God factor into the equation and to say, if God's prompting me to do it, then he's the one who's going to fulfill it. He's the one who's going to sustain it. Jesus says, it's the Father in me who does the work. So we can count the cost and say, you know what? I'm not able to do this on my own. But if God, you're prompting me to do this, I'm going to trust that you're going to fulfill it. And nothing is impossible for you. And what happened with Abraham? That simple belief in that was counted to him as righteousness. And then as we go, we saw Abraham. It didn't all happen right away. He had a year's span of time before he had a son, before he had Isaac. The book of James says, count it all joy when you go through some trials and you have to persevere through some things. Why? Because it's proving the genuineness of your faith and it's developing your character. And this character leads to hope, and hope does not disappoint. So we see this counting. God's going to expand the vision. He's going to show you something that looks bigger, that maybe looks impossible. And you may look at it and you may count the cost and you say, you know what? I don't know if I can do that. And there's going to be a cost of letting go of some old things to step into these new things that God wants to do. There's going to be a cost in that. But with God, he's more than enough. He can make this vision for happen through you. And then as you start walking it out and you start moving in that direction, there might be some times when you have to persevere. And that's where you count it all joy. because you know God's moving you closer and closer to this vision that he has for your life. But we're going to take communion over the upcoming week here. And we're going to believe that over the next week here, over the rest of the month, God's going to begin to expand the vision. That in Christ Jesus, there is purpose and grace for our lives given to us before time ever began. And God's going to begin to expand the vision. If he showed it all to us at once, it'd be too much. If he showed us all he wanted to do in our lives, it would be too overwhelming. Most of us would not be able to handle it, and we would never get started. We wouldn't believe it. But he's going to begin to expand the vision. And when he does, say yes. Believe him. Believe that he can do the impossible through you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he said this very simple thing: take it, receive it. Receive what? Receive that Jesus makes you right with God. You have his blessing and his favor on your life. He wants to do more through you than you could ever ask or dream or think or imagine. And it's all according to his power, not our power. So we have to account for his power working within us. Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. And if you have your bread, you can take your bread. See, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. His death is a big deal. Because in the case of a will or an estate, you have to prove somebody's death to activate all of the inheritance. Every time we do it, we're proclaiming his death, bringing his sacrifice into the present moment, proclaiming the death of Jesus. It's just an opportunity for us to just meditate on God's steadfast, unfailing love for us. Think about that. Love never fails. And if he was willing to send Jesus, how will he not freely give us all things? And this expanding vision is not something that we earn or that we effort or force our way into. It simply comes from receiving it, receiving this gift of grace. That not only he has this vision for our lives that we can receive and say yes to, but he's the one who's going to make it happen through us. He's going to cause the change and the transformation to happen through us. We just keep showing up and saying yes to the promptings that he's given us on the inside and following his lead in our lives. And his voice is going to lead us to a beautiful place. So Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup. Says, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Father, we thank you for this cup in Jesus' name. All right, so now it's simply about walking it out. What do you know to do? What are you stirred up and motivated and excited to do? Yes, there's some things that you need to do. But I believe God's going to begin to expand the desires of your heart this week and over the next week as well. He's going to begin to expand them. And as he begins to expand them, take some time to get still, record them, write them down. It's not that you have to make them happen. You just write them down. And as God begins to make it happen through you, you have a record of what God showed you before it ever took place. And you can show that to future generations. You can show that to people of what God did in your life, the testimony of it. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can find out more at our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.